Welcome back. If you aren't already following Naked, please take a minute to do so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Each follow means so much and it actually helps a lot. If you have more than just a minute, it would be absolutely incredible if you could leave a review and maybe even share an episode with a friend. I'm relatively new to the pod world, especially new to the things that are important in the podcasting world. And apparently reviews and follows are up there on the list of importance. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. Welcome to Naked, where stories unfold. I'm your host, Janelle, a once former pastor's wife who exchanged small town living for a nomadic life. The unexpected change in our life led my husband and our four kids to traveling the world. From years of being rooted in our small town to the thrill of wandering the world, our story has been anything but ordinary. On our journeys, we've met amazing people, learned their way of life, and heard their unique stories, which has led me to understand the profound impact of shared experiences. In each episode, we explore moments of transformation, guided by one single question. Is there a time in your life when everything changed? We invite ordinary storytellers like yourself to share the often unexpected turns in life. So grab a seat and settle in. This is the Naked Podcast. My next guest today is a very special woman that we met when we were living in Nicaragua. She is a brilliantly vibrant person, but she's also an incredible Spanish teacher. And we were looking for someone to teach us, come to our home, and our kids were eager to learn, especially our oldest three. So she'd come to our home twice a week and teach Spanish in very real ways and having communication with the kids. And it was just such a beautiful connection that they had. And we also felt towards her. She is the most vibrant person, maybe the most vibrant person I met in Nicaragua. She is just has this energy and this beautiful glow about her. And she just kind of draws you in. So I got to hear a little bit about her story when we were living there, but nothing to the degree that she shared today. She talks about teaching and how she loves it, but how it also saved her life and how it eventually led her to meeting the love of her life. She's an amazing human, and I'm so glad that she's here today to tell her story. Please note that there are some triggering things like alcoholism, domestic violence, and there's also some birds and dogs in the background, but that's just part of living in Nicaragua and nature becoming part of the podcast. So please excuse some of those background noises. Welcome here, and thank you again for being part of the Naked community. Well, today I am so grateful to have my guest here. We met in Nicaragua. She's actually taught my kids how to speak Spanish. She's an incredible teacher. She's so loving. And she came into our home, I think it was two or three times a week, and just brought so much joy. And I was like, I got to hear little bits of her story that she would share bits of it with my kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, one day I hope I can get a chance to hear more of her story. So today I have Marielle. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm so glad that you're here to share your story.
Thank you for inviting me. So I'm going to introduce now. I'm Marielle Estrada and I'm from Nicaragua. I am 47 years old and I am a Spanish teacher for 26 years now. And I have had a lot of students. And now I am married. I have two daughters, and and I love my job. I love to be a Spanish teacher.
It shows because you're so happy when you're just you bring such a joy every time you come to teach. You're just so full of energy and joy.
It's what I want. I want my students to be happy, to be comfortable, and I want they to make them to punish them to continue studying and being happy, and they have to always happy learning. It's only not to teach grammar. It's not to come to sit in the table and teach them grammar. I want they to feel comfortable and excited to continue learning Spanish.
Yeah, and you do that. I think you do it very well. And I heard somebody once say that when a student is learning, so much of that has to do with the way the teacher has chosen to teach it. It can be very boring or it can be very exciting. And I feel like that's what you do. You bring such an excitement to learning.
Thank you. What I try. My husband always tell me, Marielle, you are not just a teacher. You are a person. You are a person who make them feel how they are, how comfortable. You are not only a Spanish teacher. You are whole, todo. Psicóloga, a friend, totally. A cook here, the todo.
Totally. You are. You're the friend. You're like a friend that just comes and hangs out and talks, speaks Spanish, you know, and then you teach them in a very real way. I feel like so much of even Mikel, when he talks about learning speaking Spanish with you, he's like, we would just talk. And I felt comfortable just to say things, even if it wasn't always right. I just, I knew that it was okay to keep trying. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, you're a very, very gifted teacher. And I'm very grateful that we met you and you got to be a part of our life. It was sad to leave you because it was like, oh, you're part of the family. But I'm so glad that we still can stay in touch.
See, me too, me too. I saw the other day Lexi, and I say Lexi, and then Jean Mariel. I mean,
oh, that's so nice. Yeah, those of you who are listening, Lexi is our daughter who lives in Nicaragua now. Who she used to travel with us full time, but now she's in Nicaragua. Yeah. Has our business, and so it's so nice when people that know us and know our daughter can like hug her and love her while we're so far away. Yeah, that means a lot. Are you drinking something
tea.
Special today?
I have tea and water, just in case, because I think this interview will be like more. I will speak about something special in my life and heart. So I have water for use in case. But I have tea. I would like to have drink, but it's too early in Nicaragua. I would like to have wine, but it's too early in Nicaragua.
It's 7:30 a.m., I think, right?
Yeah, and so tea is enough for now.
Tea is good. Tea is a good time.
I have green tea.
A green tea. That's nice. Yeah. That's a good way to start the day. See, I could have wine.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the day for me. It's the afternoon, but I didn't have any wine on hand, so I just have tea too.
I'm trying to drink a, to drink a different tea now that is with cinnamon and bay leaf. And there is a flower. We have a flower here. But I think that you have also, Jamaica, it's Flor de Jamaica. So the tea thing is good. And so I'm having that for my stomach. It's good for the body. So in the morning and in the night. But I didn't prepare it today.
That's perfect. No, Jamaica is very good with cinnamon.
And I put also bay leaf.
Good. Yeah. Bay leaf. See. I never tried that. That would be... very tasty.
Calla la cinnamon. Sí.
Well, we guess we can jump into our conversation. I have actually talked to Marielle a few times about joining me on the podcast, but with our time difference, it's sometimes it's difficult because she teaches and finding a time. So today we finally made it work and we're here. And like I said, I only know very small snippet of your story, but I, like I mentioned to you, this, the podcast is here to bring hope to people that are maybe going through something similar or who are going through something that maybe they feel like they can't get out of, and just to bring light into darkness, really to bring some hope and some, let people know that they're not alone in their journey. So I know that you've been thinking about this and you have, Mikel's told me, Mom, she has a crazy story. You've been through so much. So as we jump into this, I guess, where do you want to start at the time when your life, when everything changed?
Okay. I think that when I didn't have a normal childhood because I'm the older, and we were four siblings. Now we are three. I have a sister and a brother. They are younger, and so when they was born, I was like maybe 10 years old. So, and I started to be an adult, with my 12 years old, because it was different. It was different. Like 30 years ago. Now it's a different, and that time when the oldest had the responsibility to take care about the youngest. So I didn't have a normal childhood because of that culture, because of the culture, and also because we, in that time, we had had problems, political problems. We had the revolution, la contrarrevolución in Nicaragua. So I can tell you that I had a hard life, but in comparing now, I can say it was good, but in the moment it wasn't, but comparison now, it was good, but because no one had a phone, no one had a TV. I didn't have a TV, I didn't have a phone, I didn't have a radio, I didn't have anything. Just to take care of my sister, my brother, because they are twins. They are twins. So I was, I was as their mom. So, but I'm grateful because now they respect me, they love me, and they take care about me, and they take care about my daughters. So, and I'm not regretted about that because they are thankful and they love me. But I have a hard life with my mom because she was so hard. So, and then when I went to the university, I was 18 years old and I thought I'm going to be free. I'm going to be free because my mom won't be there, because I'm going to do everything. And but thanks God that because I had the opportunity to go to the university, most of my friends, they couldn't because the life was different. Now we have more opportunity. We have more university. And that time I had to go to Managua to live in Managua. And my parents, they could pay for my studies. Oh, wow. But I said, I'm going to be free. Yeah. No more slave. Because all the responsibility was for me in the house. With 13 years old, I had to iron the cloth for six people, take care about the kids, and I couldn't go to the beach with my friend. I never went to sleep with other house with my friend, like a pajama party. I never had that. And no one could visit me because I had responsibility taking care of my siblings. And so I said, I'm going to be free. And but no, because I was responsible and I studied to be a nurse. And it was hard, so I had to study the whole day. I didn't have time to party or do anything. It was different. So, but in that time we had problem with government, and there was a fight, a war university against the government. So I just stopped studying. I almost finished. And I decided to go to Costa Rica to work. I was like 20 years and almost 20 because I spent almost 2 years. Then I came and I met someone in Nicaragua. I came for vacation from Costa Rica and I met someone. And I felt that he was the best man in the world. And I remember that I met him on September and I did something bad. We got married on November, like September, October, November. And then immediately, I didn't have experience like having a birth control, all this thing. So I got pregnant immediately. On December, I was pregnant. Okay. Entonces, the story with this man was, it is so bad. Because at the beginning, it was good because when we got married in November and December, I was pregnant. And then he had an opportunity to go to USA to work on January. So he left. He wasn't be with me. He wasn't with me when I was pregnant. When my daughter was born.
Wow.
He was not here with me. So my parents were with me. They were always with me. But economically, I didn't have any problem because he worked in the USA. He sent me money. I didn't have any difficulty. And I think that God put me someone in my life. I remember in the bus, my daughter was like 10 days. And this man invited me to be a teacher. And I said, no, I don't need a job. I'm a good, I have a husband and I have enough money and I had a good life economicamente. And then in that time we didn't have phone, we didn't have internet in Nicaragua, we didn't have just cartas or some notas with person to person. Wow. And I had a friend who worked in that school. It was the first school, Spanish school in town. The owner, it was from USA, and he had three schools, one in León, one San Juan del Sur, and one in Granada. So this man, it was the director. Okay. And then he invited me, and I said no. And also, I didn't have any experience teaching. I studied being a nurse in a university. Right. And then he insisted me, and a friend worked with him. And then she told me, Mariel, Salvador, because his name was Salvador, said again that if you want to work as a teacher, because he's looking for some teacher. And I said, no. Then the third time I said, yes. But I didn't say anything to my husband because it was in secret. I didn't tell him, oh, I'm going to war, blah, blah, blah. And then he came when my daughter turned 1 year old. He left when I was pregnant 1 month. Okay. And then he came. He saw our daughter used in pictures. I sent him pictures in a carta, in a letter, in an envelope. No internet, no phone, no nada.
Yeah.
And and I think that's the decision that I took the risk. It was the best decision that I have had, that I have done in my life. And when he came and I told him, I'm working. I remember that he came on Friday and I went to the airport and we spent the weekend, and then on Monday, I had a student, and I told him, I need to work, because now I'm working, and I have to go. And then he told me, no, you cannot go. You didn't tell me. You cannot go, because now I'm here, I'm on vacation. And I told him, okay, but just let me finish this week, and then I can ask for a permission and then we can enjoy, because he was going to be here just for 3 months. It was fair. And then he told me, no,
okay,
you won't go. You don't need to go. And I said, yes, I will go. And that time we didn't have a taxi in the city. It was rare people who had moto car. So I used a bicycle. Then I ride my bicycle, and then he follow me. And then in like 5 meters after my house, he parked in front, and then he told me, you won't go. If you go, I will punish. I will hit you. I will take you from your hair, from the job. And I said, I will go. And then he did that like twice in the road until the school. Because the school in that time, it was in front of the beach. And then I went, I did it, and I started to teach. And then I saw him in the bike in front of my job. And I said, God, please, please don't let him to come here, because he's going to hit it. Then that was the first time, and I didn't realize that he was so violento. But I think, and thanks God, because I was brave to say, I will. I'm going to do it. Because now, look at me. I'm a good teacher, and I love my job. And I have had a lot of problems But my job is help me to be in.
Yeah.
And then he accepted my job with time, and then he came back to his work, and then after 1 year again, he came, and then he never came back to US again. Then the problem started.
Wow.
Every time that he drunk, it was hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also that I grew up having fear because of my mom,
yeah.
Because she always hit me for nothing, mm-hmm. and like almost every day. Oh. I think that when I was a child, so I was more shy, more introvertida, and depending on my mom. My mom was my boss, and I was married, and she still punished me. And she decided how. So when my husband came he told me, Maria, let's go to eat in the restaurant. And then she was angry. Why are you going to go to eat there? You have to cook here. And why? You're lazy. You are not. She always does. And I think that this situation didn't like to my husband. So, and the problem started. And the first time that he tried to kill me was because he fought with my mom. And I fell between the rock and the sword. Between, there is an expression. I fell
between a rock and a wall, something like that.
Because I love my mom and I love my husband,
yeah.
But they were not agree. Because I always let my mom to be in my relationship. And because I was afraid, because she always was the boss, because she always was hard to me. And the first time I remember, he tried to kill me with a machete. And I remember I was in a party with my mom, with a friend, and I don't know what happened. And then suddenly he told me, let's go to the house. And Jessica, in that time, she was like 2 years old, maybe 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old. And she was with my father. So we lived in different house in that time. And then he came to my, like at 2 a.m. He came to my father and then he told him, okay, I'm going to take my daughter. But I didn't know what was his idea. And then he gave me the daughter to hold her. And then let's go to the room. And then he locked the room and then with a machete, I'm going to kill you. That was the first time that I felt like, oh, I'm going to die. So afraid. And I said, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And I couldn't yell. But his mom heard something. And then she started to knock the door. Alvaro, open the door. Don't do anything. Open the door. And got calm, and then he stopped and everything. And I loved him. I always thought I don't want to leave him because I don't want to have a stepfather for my daughters. But now I understand that it was not the truth. It was because I love him. I couldn't leave him. So I live with him like almost five years, but the 3 years, the late, yeah. Los últimos 3 years was hard.
Like,
and then we moved to other house and to live independiente, and I thought maybe we will have a better relation. And I continue working, and I always had that problem in my house. And when I put a foot in the school, I had problem the night before. So many problems. One night when we lived alone, he came to the house with a friend. drunk and I was sleeping. And most of the time I sleep without clothes. And then he told me, we are hungry. And I said, no, I need to rest because I have to work tomorrow. And then when his friend left, he took me naked to the patio with a knife. And all the neighbors saw my body, saw me, everything. It was horrible. And that time, the government wasn't hard now with violence, with this problem. And if the neighbor called the police, never the police came. But I had to call personally. And so I didn't do. But the police came like 2 days after. I was happy with him in that time. And so next day I had to work. Imagine how could I feel, how I felt. I felt that I was walking in the air because all the neighbors were, oh, that's a woman last night. So, and then I came to the school without crying and happy and everything. So that was hard, wow. But the best decision that I have made, done, work.
Yeah.
Work. And my mother helped me to, in the bad way, but she helped me to leave him. And one day I said, because he always told me, if you leave me, I'm going to take our daughter and I'm going to take all the things that we have. Because when we got married, we didn't have even a bed. So, and with him, I got a bed, a fridge, TV, something for music, a closet, and everything we have. And then he told me, if you leave me, I'm going to take my daughter, and you won't take anything because everything is mine. And then I cried because why would you take my daughter? Why is my daughter? You cannot take her. I was brave, but at the same time, innocent. And and one day I said, okay, you know what? Take everything. Put them in the place that is good for you, but you won't take my daughters. And I took everything. And then he saw me that I took the decision. And then he told me, okay, I won't take anything. You can leave. He always blackmail to me, but at the end he never took anything. Yeah. I left from my mother's house, and then by then we had a problem in the family. My brother, the second after me, I had a brother. He died in an accident. 20 years, he's going to turn. The accident is going to turn 20 years in 2 days, in 3 days. And so then we had that problem. My parents suffer, the family suffer because he died in the ocean. And I have problem with my husband. And after 1 year, still I was single, but he always followed me. He always followed me in the road because no taxis in that time. I had to walk to the school or bike. And he always followed me. And my mother and my father, they were always worried about me. They always called me, Mariel, where are you? Mariel, what are you doing? Mariel, because they said, we cannot lose another son. For 2 years, I had that thing. For 2 years, he always followed me. And when he was, and my father had problem con alcohol after my brother died. And so my mother took my father to a rehabilitation place. So we lived like just in the house, my mom, my daughter, my sibling, they were young, like 10 years, 12 years old, and my daughter. Oh, wow. Entonces, when my ex-husband drunk, he always come to the window, open the door, because he knew that no one, no man There were no one who could defend us.
Just you.
So for 2 years until I met someone. And I felt when I leave him, I felt bad because I always thought that he was going to be the man who I, my man for my whole life. And then, to look for someone else who accept me with a daughter, it was hard in that time. Now it's normal. Now it's normal if you meet someone who has kids.
Yeah.
But in that time, it was hard. So if I met someone, it was, it's easy to her to go take her to the bed because I don't have problem because she's no virgin. So she has a daughter. It's easy to take her to the bed to have sex with her. So, but that was not me. I wanted a couple. I wanted someone who wanted to be with me and accept me with my daughter. And then I met someone. And the first thing that I told him 2 years after, I have a daughter. And then he told me, okay, I don't care. It's okay. And then I felt like, okay, good. That's the thing that I want. And I didn't know what was going to happen in the future. And and at the beginning, it was good. And then I thought, now it's time to have another kid. It was my decision. My two daughters, the first one wasn't planned, but I wanted, because if no, I could take birth control.
Yeah.
But the second one, it was my decision. I didn't ask him. I want to have a baby, so I did it. And I lived with that man for 11 years. But in comparing to the first one, I thought, this is good. Because in that relationship, I was the boss. Mm. I made money. I have a good job. And I made money than him, and I paid for everything. And my daughters when Ismael was born, so he put me in on the side, because his life, it was only the baby. His world, it was only the baby, not me. So the most important person to him, it was Ismael. At the beginning, it was good because I know he loved my daughter. And then he started to have an attitude like, okay, Jessica cannot have a relation. She's not. The problem came because I love Jessica, but and then Ismael had more attention and Jessica no. Jessica started to be more angry and all of the things. So Ismael, Jessica grew up with, they were not a good friend because of my ex, Ismael. So for 11 years, I had a problem, and he was so jealous. At the beginning, but I didn't pay attention. He told me, why do you teach youth men? Why don't you teach women, youth men? And I said, they are my student. What is the problem? They are only a student. But I didn't pay attention. And then other day I met a student and then, hola, Mariel. He hugged me. And then he told me, don't touch me. Go to wash your face. Go to wash your hand. Don't touch me. You touch that man. And then, okay. But I was happy because I was the boss. Because he didn't hit me. He didn't do that. But after like 7 years, 8 years, I opened my eyes. Because I always paid for everything. And one day I said, and my mother always, and my sister, my brother-in-law always told me, Mariel, why do you live with that lazy man? Why do you live with that man that you are spending your life with him? You pay for everything. You should live better alone with your daughters. And then and time happened. pasar. And after, he never loved me, I think. Maybe at the beginning, but he never respect me. He never pay attention about me. He always was, I was like a person who paid for everything. His world, it was only the baby, not me. And I always told him, she's going to grow up. She's going to get married. She's going to leave us. And you know what? I'm going to be here with you, but it will be late for us. And then he never understood. And Mariel was 10 years old and Jessica almost like 19 years old, almost 20, when I met Tim.
Okay.
And being a teacher, I met a lot of people different from different culture, different country. And that make me feel like good because my problem always, I left my problem in the house. I never brought the problem to the school. And I have a good friends now because of my job. And I have had opportunities meeting people, being in other place and in Nicaragua. And so, and then one day I remember that I always went to the beach with my student, and I always believed something, and it was something crazy. When the sun came down, and you see only the line from the sun, and then you can ask for a wish. Mm-hmm. And I always ask, okay. I want to be happy. I want to meet my love. I want to this. And when I met him, I was a teacher. I was his teacher. And then he came to the school. And I was with Ismael in that time. But I saw Tim as a student. Just I thought, oh, he's guapo. He's handsome. But nothing. No ojos like a man. No, it's just my student. And then he didn't see me as a woman. He saw me as a teacher. And I remember that I had a student who invited me to come to USA, but I didn't have a visa to go to USA. Okay. And I was with Ismael. For 11 years, I always asked him, would you like to marry me? Would you like to do this? Because I'm Catholic and I believe in God. And I believe in marriage, and I wanted, and I always go to the Misa, I always, and I couldn't take the Cuerpo de Cristo because I was not married. For me, because I believe in God, I couldn't, as a Catholic, I couldn't take the Cuerpo de Cristo because I was not married. Yeah. And I always ask Ismael, I would like to marry you because I want to be in peace with God, I want to be good, and then he always told me, no. And so that answer always make me feel bad because I always said, are you still looking for someone? Because I'm not the person who you want to be with. So, and then when this student invited us with Ismael, my mother always told me, why? Why would you go with Ismael? You won't have a good vacation with him because he's jealous. You are going to pay for everything. Go to yourself. Go alone with him. And then he will never let me to go. That would never happen because he would never accept. So, jealous. And then I told him, Ismael, that student invited me to go to USA, but we are going to go to ask for the visa, but we have to marry us. Because it's good, because we are a couple, we can show up. And then he told me, no, I don't want. And then we went to the interview. And the first question that people in the embassy asked us, are you married? And I said, no. So they denied the visa. They said, you both not available to visit our country. And I was angry. I was angry at him because he didn't want to marry. And then My student told me, okay, we're going to try again. And then I said, Ismael, we have to marry us. But you know what? If I get the visa, it's okay. But if you don't get the visa, I'm going to divorce immediately. Because you don't want to marry me because you love me. It's because of the visa. It was almost the end of our relationship. But in that time, I taught Tim. And then I remember that I said, Tim, on Tuesday, we won't have classes because I'm going to get married. Because I want to go to USA. Now he makes joke about that. And then he said, okay, no problema. And so on Wednesday, I came back. We got married on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, okay, I came back. Okay, I'm married. But not the charge, okay? Not the charge. Just with the judge, with a lawyer. That's it. Not the charge. Because I was not crazy to do it because I didn't love him and he didn't love me. And so it was only because of the visa, the document. And then when we went to the interview, like 2 months after, they told us, you are not available to visit our country. That was the second time. And then I said, I was teaching Tim for 3 months, and then he needed to, but with Tim, even he didn't see me as a woman. He saw me always like as a teacher. He was so gentleman with me. He was so gentleman. He always opened the door in the car. And then he always, Mariel, no classes today. We have to go to eat breakfast together. And so, and I started with that confidence, I started to speak, to tell him about my relationship with Ismael. And he understood that it was the end of our relationship. I didn't love him. And he told me about him. I told him about my life with my daughters and everything. But he was always gentleman. And I never received that attention from any other man. At the end of my relationship with Ismael, I tried to lose weight, and I lost weight. And then I remember one day Ismael told me, oh, you look ugly. Why are you losing weight? You look so ugly. And I told, I don't care. I'm doing for me, not for you. And I used to go to a disco with my sister sometimes. And I could see that always friends to my sister, Tanya, would you like a beer? Not because I wanted someone to invite me a beer. It's because I wanted to feel attractiva. No one invited me to a beer. No one. I had to pay my own. But it was good because I wanted to feel like, because my sister, she's married also. But it still is, people offer her, Tanya, what would you like to drink? What? And then she always said, I would like a beer, but I'm with my sister. And always in that. And I always cry because no one saw me. No one saw me as nada. And then my sister always said, Mariel, it's because you look like you are brave. Yeah, like you are angry. Like you have power. No man likes a woman with power. And you always look like you have power. You don't need anyone to support you, to help you. You are enough for yourself. And then I said, but I don't want to feel like that. I want someone to see me. Not because love or because... No, it's because I want to feel woman. And then when I met him, he made me feel like that. He always like, Mariel, what would you like? Or Mariel, let's go and open the door. And it was... And then we had a habit, like every Friday fun day with him. And I didn't spend, it wasn't about money. It was about attention. And he always told me, you decide. You decide where, what place would you like to go? And I decided. And then he said, and I always, and always brought my money and say, I'm going to pay him. No. I will pay. And then that made me feel good. Not because I needed the money. It's because of the attention. And then I think that Tim helped me to be brave to leave my ex-husband. Because I said, still, I feel like a woman. Because I feel if I leave Imael, who will see me? Who will accept me with two daughters? Even I don't need, because economically I was good because of my job. And but Tim was like so normal. And then after 3 months, because you know that you have to be here just for 3 months and then you have to renew a visa. Yeah. He went to Costa Rica. And then he told me, Mariela, I'm going to be in Costa Rica 1 week. We won't have classes for 1 week. So in that week, I took the decision to say, Ismael, I don't want to be with you. You have to leave from my house. Because I always told him, please go away. And then he always told me, you made my suitcase. If you want me to leave, make it. And then I will leave, just to make me feel like it was your fault.
Yeah.
You decide this. Entonces, and that time I decided it. So, okay, go away. I'm going to do it. Go. So when Tim came back to Nicaragua, I told him, Ismael is no more with me. And then a few days, he started to see me different. And I felt bad because I just finished with Ismael. And then, like, next month, I started with Tim. But I felt bad because we live in a small town. So for people, I betray Ismael. But for us, we know that Tim never saw me. Tim never told me anything. He always thought, you are married. He respect me all the time. And and thank God. Thank God, because he put in my life this amazing man. And because I took the decision to work and I was brave to fight against my first husband. And then for the first time, I put God in our relationship. At the beginning, it was hard because Tim came with different ideas from USA. He didn't believe in God in that time. And he came with the idea like, this life is horrible. I can kill myself. Nothing is important to me. When we started to date, he told me, Mariel, I have not been married. I don't want to be married, and I will never marry you. And I said, okay, no hay problema. But also, I always thought I never wanted to live with a gringo. I never wanted, because they have different culture, they have different ideas, and I have been working. At that time, I had been working for 19 years, and I knew I saw different relationship with Nikas, with gringo. And everyone think when they see a Nika with a gringo, oh, it's because of the money. Oh, with that.
Right.
And I saw gringos like making la vida de Nika, the Nika life, la chica, horrible. And they always accept just the wife, no kids, no family, no nada. So when I started with Tim, I told him, I have two daughters. I have a family. And my family will celebrate Christmas, birthday, New Year's Eve. So, and I will always be with them, and you have to be with me. And then he said, I don't have any problem with that. And when we started with the first two person who know about our relationship, it was my daughters. And he spoke with them. And they, because I told them, you are studying, we live in this small town. Don't accept if people say something bad about your mother. You have to say, we know. You don't need to hear from other people. And you have to defend your mom in front of other people, because now you know. And when I left Ismael, Ismael, our daughter, she said, Mama, imagine how was our relationship. Because our daughter always said, Mama, we are happy now with without my father. And I wasn't with him at that time, but she told me one day, I'm happy. We are happy now without my father. And then when I met him, so they started, and Ismael started to say bad things to Ismael about him. And then she always, one day she told me, you don't love us. You are always with that gringo. And as my father say, you preferred him instead of us. And then I told them, I told her, especially her, because Jessica, she was 18, she thought different. And then I told her, okay, you know what? I'm happy now because I have a good man and we have a different life now. But if you want me to leave him, I'm going to do it. But you know what? You are not allowed to fall in love, to have a boyfriend, to have a husband, because you are going to live with me your whole life. If you don't let me be happy, you won't do it. And then she understood, and then she told me, I'm sorry, Mama. Okay, you can continue. You can be happy. And never again, she never told me anything again. And now, after 2 years with him, her father accept our relationship. Now we are friends. We three are friends. Tim speak with Ismael. Ismael, we have a good relation. Wow. So our divorce didn't affect our daughter. We are happy. We are happy together. We have a good relationship. Now he used to work for me, Ismael. Taking care about the finquita, the chicken and the pigs. So we are a good friend now. If I have some problem and I need his help, he always helped me. And he helped Timmy. If Tim have some problem, he always. But, and then being a teacher and everything. And we had problem in 2018 here with the government.
Yeah.
And I'm Sandinista. And I started to have problem with my business partner because she's not Sandinista. And Justine saw me crying because she made my life horrible, because even I brave, I don't like to fight. I don't want to insult people. I don't want to do this. Just I want my life. And I started to decide, like, to make my circle, small circle, my friends. I had just two friends, my family. And then Tim told me one day, Marielle, you have to quit. And I said, oh, I cannot do it. I have been working in that school for like 13 years, 17, 15, I think. And independiente, because we quit after 5 years working with the gringo. We were 19 teachers and 16 we quit, and we started with Latin American Spanish school, 16 teachers, and then like a cooperativa, and then one decided to leave and the other one decided to leave. At the end, just Vanessa and me. Those, we owned the school for 10 years. But and then she become like horrible person because of political thing. And then Tim told me, you have to quit. And I said, no, how can I teach? How can I work? Because Tim never told me, stop working. I'm going to give you everything. That's no, never. He always let me be let me work. And and one day he went to USA, and he brought me this business card. He brought me t-shirt. He brought me a bag. He brought me, he told me, you are ready now to be independent. You have to leave. Then I said, what? What about if I fail? And then he told me, for the first time I heard that from a man. And then he told me, don't worry, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm here to support you. So, and I decided to quit. And I decided to start with Escuela en la Playa. And now I'm independent. Wow. And I visit my clientes, and I visit mis estudiantes, and we are friends. But the other team told me that he will never marry me because he never was married. And after 2 years being with me, he said one day, I'm just thinking about marrying you. You're thinking if I'm going to marry you will be in 20 years, but I have the idea now. I have the idea, 20 years. And I said, so 20 years would be 18 because now we have 2 years together. And then he said, yes. And then he had the idea to do an engagement party. And he told me, because I'm going to marry you, I don't know when, maybe in 20 years, but I'm going to. I have the idea. And then he told me, okay, we can do the party, but we are going to do it in my mother's house because I don't know if in 18 years they will be alive, or me or you. And in my mother's house, and they never have had this situation because no one came to ask for their kids to get married. That was going to be the first experience for them. And then one day Tim told me, why in your mother's house? Why won't you do it? And we'll do it. Would you do it at the beach? And I said, at the beach? And they said, yes. I never punished him to do. He always offered me. I was always like me, like Mariel, attend him, making a good food, treating good because he was good to me. He's good to me. I'm good with him. And so we had a good party with 70 people at the beach. And then he spoke with my parents and that thing. That was September 19th. Wow. And on December 19th, he told me, Mariel, in 2021, I'm going to turn 50 years old. And I think by that time, I think I will be ready to get married, to marry you. And I said, are you sure? No, 18 years? No. But still in that time for me was like 2 years. In 2 years is far, but it's less than 18. And so, and then he told me, we are going to marry us in January 22. So I had 2 years to plan our wedding. And I never thought that I could have that because I was 45. I was going to have 45 years old. And I never thought that is possible. Now I can say, and I can say women, that everything is possible. But for me, the most important person is God, because now we have the ability to pray together. We have the ability to have a good connection with God. And that has been the difference between my other two relationships. Now we have God in our relationship. And we have seen all the change because Tim, he never believed in God before. He said that he always tell me that he have learned a lot. I have thought a lot to him God, culture, love, and use love, make him change. Because, and then we got married in January 2022, and he took that decision because of love and because of God. And never is late. Never is late for a woman to make a decision to leave a man, to start to work. Because I think women, we have to work. We have to be independent. I remember the first time that Tin invited me to come to Managua, and we went to PriceMart. And I had my idea also for PriceMart in that time, and he has his own. And I took my car for put thing, and I said, I'm going to put the thing that I can pay, because this gringo won't make me feel bad. He will never tell me, pay your own things. I didn't give him the opportunity to do that, because I was independent. I said, this gringo won't tell me this. Because I put all the things that I could pay. And then we were in the line. He told me, Mariel, don't worry. I'm going to pay your thing. And I said, are you sure? Yes, I'm going to pay your thing. And that was the first time. And then for accepting that thing, like received from him, it happened like maybe 5, 6, 7 times. And now when we go to PriceMart, I don't feel good to put everything, but 98% say no, it's the same thing, but still I feel something like especially when it's personal things just for me. I put and I said, I'm going to put this, but I'm going to pay it. So, and he's, are you crazy, Mariel? And this is the thing, and I love him. He's the best.
Yeah,
obvio. We have problems sometimes, we fight sometimes, but we have the ability to speak about the problem, to arrange the problem, and to continue.
Yeah.
But he's the best, because I'm married, and at the same time, I feel free. I'm not a slave. Exactly. And I can tell women, please, if you are in a bad relationship, please leave this man. And everything is possible. If you have God, if you pray, I know. I have had all of that experience. And I've had hard time. And I'm here at the end. And I continue. And I want to have more faith, because still, it's minimal, but we pray every day to have more faith and to be together and all this thing. And never is late. And you women, you can meet your love if you don't still have it. And the most important thing is to have a job, to believe, and to love yourself. To love, and I feel good now. And now I constantly say I earn wage and a little more. And always my husband is, if you want to lose weight, do it because of you, because I love you how you are. I love your body. I love the way that you are. If you want to lose weight, it's okay. If you want, do it for you. Because I love you. I love everything about you. So he makes me feel good.
Seen and loved. Yeah. It's a thing you said in the beginning when you first started, that you wanted to feel seen. It sounded like when you were a child taking care of your siblings and being a mother, really, at the age of 10, 11, 12, 13, that you weren't really seen. You had to see little kids, and you know, take care of their needs, and then moving out and wanting to be free and going to Managua and like you're going to be free, and then finding yourself back in San Juan, yeah, in a very different situation where you weren't, you was almost like you were like caged again, like when you were a child, it's like you were
yeah,
put into like a box of what you needed to do. It's almost like you were put back into that again in your 20s when you were had a baby and you had this husband who was very controlling and who would hurt you, and again, like very similar
to
what you were as a child, being, yeah, with your mom being hit and taking care, being given, told what you have to do, being very much not free to make your decisions, to be, you're a very vibrant person. Like I would never know that you were a quiet person when you were younger, because you're a very vibrant person. And I think your story is beautiful because it's hard, but it tells you about like the resilience and the strength that comes from trusting yourself and saying, no, I'm going to get this job, and I don't even know what I'm doing, you know, necessarily, but I'm going to learn, and learning the skills to do the thing that has ultimately led you to the love of your life, to Tim, and has given you a relationship that you probably never knew possible, to feel seen and to feel loved and to feel like you're enough just the way you are, is a beautiful story.
My mother was very hard to me. And when I turned, this is still, when I turned 40, buenos dias, when I turned 40 years old, something in my life changed. And in my 40, I got independent from my mother. In my 40, because before that, she always was, what are you doing this? Why will you leave? Why are you going to go to the restaurant? Why are you drinking? Why you are drunk? What? Todo. And when I left with my husband to have a baseball play and with my daughters, and then I came because I like to drink. And she never spoke with me for 2 days because I came to the house drunk or because I had some beers. So in my 40, one day I was brave and I told her, Mama, it's enough. No mas. And I, because always when she told me something, I was like quiet, because in the idea, I have to respect my mom. She is my mom. She is right. She has the right to tell me everything. I have to be quiet, because if I respond, it's no respect here. And then I said, I don't want to unrespect you, but I want to tell you the truth. You are my mom. I love you, but you have to respect me. I have right also, not only you. And then she went, why, Maria? Why you are telling me that? You always say that you respect me, but why are you answering? Why are you fighting? I'm not fighting. I'm just telling you, no more. Please, no more. In my 40s. In my 40s. Yeah. Now, mi mama, now I'm the boss. Is if they in my family, they have problem, they always, Mariel, we are having problem with Papa. Mariel, we are having problem with everything. And so now I am the boss in my family, and I am the person who try to solve their problem. No economical. It's like something happened. It's my father is fighting with my mom. It's my brother is fighting with some. So it's always, and always, they are always afraid. Oh, Marielle is coming. Oh, you have to. And they hide some things about my daughters, about something, because no, she's brave. She can do things. She can. When they saw me one day that I can take the decision to put someone in the jail, now I'm brave. After my experience, if I see a couple fighting, I always try to be in the middle. Not even I know that they are going to be together next morning, because I know that, because I had that before. Right. But I had people to save me, to you save me. It. Not, and so he didn't kill me, because I always had people to be in the middle. But they were angry because next day I was with him. But now I know, I understand. So right. I'm not angry if they are going to be together in the morning. But the thing is, I have to prevent he to kill her. So I'm always
seeing. And then I know. It takes time. Like it took you. Yeah. And it can take a long time to realize, to even find the strength to leave an abusive situation. It can take, like, a lot of times it takes years, like you said. It took a long time to get your strength and to see that you were worth more than that, and to find the courage to do the thing to protect your children, to protect yourself, you know. And it's, I think it's, you are such a light, Marielle. Like, I you know, like, you've been through so much, and sometimes we can become consumed with our past, and it can hold us back from becoming who we really are. And it's like, it's never too late. Like you said, at my 40s, I just, something changed, and I decided, like, no, I was going to make this, I was going to be strong, I was going to find the strength. And you did, and you took back that power that was taken from you when you were just little, and you know, and you stand tall and you stand strong. And yet it's like, I love how you talked about Tim and how gentle he is and how he sees you, and how he's just like, he doesn't see your strength as a to intimidate him. He sees it in a different way, where he just still finds this beautiful way of how to nurture and to love and gently be a partner and a supportive partner in your life. And it's really inspiring, and it's really beautiful that you've, what you've gone through and where you are.
Thank you.
So happy for you to be in such a loving relationship where you feel a partnership and you feel loved and you feel seen. That for those people who are listening who are wondering, is it
possible? It is possible.
It is possible. You know, if you're in a place where you feel like you can't, you don't feel loved, you don't feel seen, it is possible. Even when it feels like it's impossible, or it feels like the hardest decision to make, like, yeah, if you're living in a space of abuse, whatever that looks like, know that there's hope, and there's a lot of possibilities to not be in that, you know, very confining, non-freeing space where you can't really be yourself. I think you've told us that in your own story, and you've done the work to get where you are today.
See, and because of all of that, I think sometimes I'm hard with my daughters, because they always tell me that I'm hard, but not the way that my mother did. For me, it's like, you have to study. Because my daughter brings their friends here to the house, but I always try to take care about her, and I want to be their friends, but sometimes I am the mom, and I have rules, and they have to, I'm not the, because my mother did that with me, I don't want to do it to them, but still, I put rules. I have law. I have rules that they have to follow. But I'm not like my mama. For example, for me, the most important thing is studies, it's studios, college. And this is good. And I'm not the kind of woman who can pay. I don't pay them. I don't pay them because they are good students. No, you do it because you deserve it. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you. I'm proud.
Yeah.
But you have to do it for you, for yourself. It's your life. It's not my life. Yeah. And I don't need to pay them because they are a good student. So, I have seen other parents that they buy the best notebook, the best phone, the best. And I said, no, you have to work for that. You have to, I give you the opportunity. I buy you a good thing, but just one time. I don't buy her like clothes every month. Or, no. There are other important things to pay the school.
But and I think in doing that, you teach your kids, because like you fought hard for what you have. Like you said, you got married without a bed. Right.
Yeah.
So you fought hard for what you got. And so that created this drive to want to work, to want to build your business. And I think in giving our kids the ability to do those, to work hard for the things that they want, it gives them all the things they need to realize that they have the possibility to earn it and to work hard for the things that they want in life. And it's not an expectation, but they understand that they did it. And there's a sense of accomplishment, and you're proud of yourself when you can You did the hard thing.
And I'm proud about my daughters. Jessica, she's 20. She's going to turn in 2 days, 26 years old. And she's independent. She doesn't work for any other person. She has her own beauty salon. She has now, she sells micheladas as her own business, and she makes money. She doesn't need a man to support her, to help her. She's independent. And I want this for Ismael also, to be independent. I don't have a boss.
Sounds like you're raising... No, you're your own boss. It sounds like you've raised very independent, courageous women.
See,
that is
And you know, in Nicaragua, everyone think, Mariel. I met the other day a person. Mariel, are you still working? And I say, see, yes. Why? Now you live with a gringo, and you. So what? I'm Mariel. I need to work. I need to be independiente. And I'm not with him because of his money.
Yeah.
I'm with him because I love him.
Yeah.
And other day he was talking with other gringos, and then I heard him to say, I love my wife, and you know what? She can kick my ass anytime if she wants. She can leave me if she wants. Because she doesn't depend on me, he said. She doesn't depend on me. She's independiente. Right. And that's good. That's made me feel good. Yeah. Wow. And also, see, we are having now economical problem. And we have a friend in a playa. And then last Saturday, he told us, you are not poor. You both add. Millionaire because you have things that other couple would like to have. You have God, you love each other, you respect each other, you are happy together, you can enjoy together, and there are other people that they don't have the ability to have this. You know what? You have a family, you have a good kid. Because Tim, he always say that he has two daughters. And one son who is my nephew, because he never had kids before. He never wanted to have kids. Entonces, only my daughter.
Wow.
Exactly. And when we got married, immediately, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, immediately they put a picture in the wall and with him. And now she never forget my kid's birthday. She always send gift. And they adopted us as a family. Mm-hmm. Jessica is Mariel, Raymond, Mariel. Yeah. And for my gift para wedding, she gave me nickels with a tree, the life tree. And then she told me, this is a symbol because now you belong to our tree, to our family tree. And that was amazing. See,
that's beautiful. Aw, that is amazing. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for sharing your story, all the heart and the beautiful parts of it. As we come to the end here, I just have one question. Is there something in your life that you can think of that comes to you that's bringing you a lot of joy these days?
Again.
So is there something in your life right now that you feel is bringing you a lot of joy, happiness?
God, number one. God, because we have God, our problem, that makes us easy. It's not heavy. Our problem, most it's economical, but it's not heavy. It's light. So I think now it's the past, the peace. I'm happy. Because I have peace in mi vida. I don't have problem with my kids. I don't have problem with my husband. I don't have problem with my family. I have peace and I have love and I have a God. That make me feel good. Wow. Every time when I go to the church and I take the cuerpo de Cristo, that's amazing for me. Now I can do it. Now I am in peace with God. And that thing that make me feel happy in this life where I live, the place where I live, and I have love and respect from my people. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And from my students. Yes. And I would like to have more students because now I don't work enough. But my student, my job make me feel happy.
Yeah. See? Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. Well, thank you so, so, so much for being here and for being part of this community called Naked, and for more people to hear more stories. It's people like you who are open and, you know, courageous enough to join me and share the parts of life that maybe we don't talk about too often, but yet they bring so much hope to people who are in the midst of their own story. So I really, from the bottom of my heart,
I'm happy because with my husband, I have a husband, I have a friend, he's my best friend, and he's my lover, he's my boyfriend, and he's everything for me now. He knows all my secrets. No one knows. Use him.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. You found your life partner. Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. Well, sending you so much love and a big hug from the way over here to Nicaragua. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And you are welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Of course. I hope you have a really beautiful rest of your day. You'll just be starting your day. So I hope your day is beautiful and lovely just as you are.
Thank you. Say bye. Kisses for say hello, everyone, and hug.
I will. Okay. Oh,
I will. Bye,
bye. I
will.
Bye. Adios. Ciao. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast goodness. This way you'll never miss out on any future episodes, plus it really helps us. And if you want to share your favorite episode with a friend, that would be absolutely incredible. This goes a long way. If you'd like to join Naked by sharing part of your story, just leave us a message on Instagram or email us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Also, a big thanks to my son, Mikkel, who is the best cheerleader and maybe one of the biggest believers in Naked, and also produces and edits all our podcasts. I am beyond grateful for him and very aware that I couldn't do this on my own. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being here.